Greece's debt crisis is a headline story, but there have been reports in Germany recently that Goldman Sachs helped Greece use a 2002 derivatives deal to raise money and hide the true extent of the debt problem from the rest of the European Union. Joining me now for today's first underreported segment is Stacey Marie Ishmael from the Financial Times. Very pleased to welcome her back to our show. Hi.
Hi, good to be back.
This morning, European Union leaders reached a deal that aimed to reassure markets that Greece would not default on its debt. Do we know yet how the bailout will be structured?
Well, to call it a bailout would be over-egging things just a bit. I mean, the way that I would refer to it is that it's a contingent promise to support Greece in the event that things do go pear-shaped. I mean, the language of the agreement essentially said, in the event that Greece is unable to meet its debt obligations and contingent on Greece agreeing to certain budget measures, we will support you in the following ways. So it's less of a promise than reassuring noises, if you will.
Did EU leaders really have much choice in this matter?
No. I think the market was and has been waiting for some kind of clarity from both the EU and from Greece, which, frankly, Greece hasn't actually provided. You know, there have been very contradictory signals from government. You know, just not too long ago, the Greek prime minister essentially said, well, you know, we don't need help, but thanks for the efforts.
European exposure to Greece is concentrated in French and Swiss banks, which each have about $79 billion in exposure. German banks have $43 billion. Has that created added pressure to help Greece? Is this a kind of a too-big-to-be-failed problem?
Well, from the French, German, and Swiss perspective, there is definitely some interest in ensuring that their own banks aren't negatively affected in the event that, you know, the situation in Greece deteriorates rapidly. It is a significant exposure, as you said, but in Germany has still come across as that they're doing this under duress. You know, there is just a general unwillingness to bail Greece out for events that were certainly not out of their control. You know, Greece's fiscal problems were problems of their own making. And Germany has not been well pleased to have to step in and look like it may have to rescue a member of the European Union that, frankly, hasn't been playing by EU rules.
When you were on our show back in December, we talked about the Greek government's plan to address the debt problems that were then becoming apparent. Has that plan had much effect, or has the situation been evolving too quickly?
Well, I would say you have two competing things here. On the one hand, the Greece government has been obliged to, again, make reassuring noises and say we're going to implement austerity measures. You know, part of the agreement with the EU today is that if Greece were to need help, they would have to guarantee that they would cut their budget deficits by an additional 4 percentage points of 2010 GDP. But at the same time, you had a fresh outbreak of striking and, you know, protests in the streets in Greece today where workers were saying, this is not what we signed up for when we elected this government. We're not looking forward to fresh austerity measures. We're not looking forward to reductions in the social safety net.
Well, what did they expect when they elected the current Greek government of Prime Minister George Papandreou just 4 months ago? Were people even aware at that time of just how serious the problem was?
I think, you know, there was definitely a lack of appreciation of the severity of the Greek fiscal situation. But it was also, there was a very strong sense that, you know, they were electing a government that was supposed to do sort of the opposite of implementing austerity measures, which is ramp up the social safety net, increase spending on welfare, you know, help the people get back on their feet, at least, is the perception in the country.
Had the Papandreou people been aware of just how much their predecessors have been covering up the extent of the debt?
That's a tricky question for a couple of reasons. Greece has come under quite significant criticism in the past couple of weeks for effectively fudging their economic numbers and, you know, not being as straightforward as the global international community had expected of them as far as just what their debt position is, what their fiscal position is, you know, how strong the country is on an economic basis. So it's really not clear whether the current government had just a very good idea of what they were getting into when they were elected.
How did the Goldman Sachs aspect of the story come to light?
Well, that was reported It's been reported a couple of times. It was first reported in 2003 in Risk magazine, and then, you know, Der Spiegel this week ran another feature on it. The thing about the Goldman Sachs involvement is, not to be a defender of Goldman Sachs, but they didn't do anything wrong. What they did was structure something called a currency swap, which is quite, you know, it's quite frequent. A good few countries have done this, which would have allowed Greece to engage in a bit of financing and sort out their countries need financing in different currency denominations. So, you know, if you have debt that you need to be paid in dollars, but you're a Eurozone country, you're going to have to figure out a way to get dollars, for example, which is what this swap did. The magical thing about this swap, which is what has annoyed some people, is that Goldman allowed Greece to not just raise money using the swaps, but also to raise more money than they'd actually disclosed. So in a sense, Greece's debt position was worse than what they had to disclose to the EU, because the way that the swap was structured, it allowed Greece not to have to disclose it in their official finances.
But you say there was nothing illegal in that. It sounds to me like they were fooling people. They were really covering up what the deal was all about.
Well, I mean, it comes down, it isn't illegal. Goldman didn't do anything illegal, and it wasn't up to Goldman to disclose it. It was really up to Greece to disclose this. So, you know, in as much as there was nothing technically wrong with it, you could argue that it was, at the very least, not good form on the part of Greece to, you know, essentially hide this information from the market.
Were these the same kind of derivatives-based investment instruments that were so problematic for others in the market?
No. Currency swaps, well, they did cause a bit of an Asian crisis not too long ago with Malaysia and other countries, but the most recent crises in derivatives didn't have anything to do with currency swaps, no.
What kind of commission would Goldman Sachs have gotten for overseeing this kind of deal?
Well, Goldman has roundly declined to comment, and they've since offloaded their exposure in the sense that they, after they'd arranged this for Greece, they sold the position to a Greek bank. So, you know, they wouldn't say just how much money they would have made on this.
My guest on Underreported is Stacey Marie Ishmael of the Financial Times. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Why didn't the 2002 deal show up in Greece's debt statistics?
Because of the way it was structured. It was intentionally structured to take advantage of certain loopholes within European Union rules, that these rules would say, okay, if you have this kind of deal or this kind of debt or you've done this kind of transaction, it needs to be disclosed. The Greek deal was structured in a way that none of those targets were hit then, so they didn't actually have to disclose it under the way the rules were stated at the time.
Is there pressure to change those rules? They involve Eurostat, don't they, the EU Statistical Office?
I don't think that there's pressure to change the rules. I think there is pressure to comply with the spirit of the rules rather than the letter of the rules.
Now, how is this news, the news of this deal, which you say was revealed earlier and not paid much attention to, now getting a lot of attention after the Der Spiegel articles, how has it been received in other EU countries?
A couple of my European sources, the word to use would be annoyed, for a couple of reasons. I mean, we've already discussed that Greece has been criticized for, you know, fudging some of its earlier numbers. And then as this was revealed, there's a sense that Greece is kind of playing fast and loose with the international community. On the one hand, they're saying, look, everything is fine. You know, we don't need your help. Thanks very much. We appreciate it, but we can get out of this ourselves. On the other hand, if it is that people don't actually know what Greece's real position is, it may be that they do need help and they're just not admitting it. And in the end, it's going to be the European Union or, you know, the ECB and working with the IMF that will have to take some kind of action if it all does go wrong in Greece. So I think there is some resentment at, you know, the perception of the various Greek administrations of simply not being forthright about what's actually happening in the country.
And Germany has been particularly opposed to giving Greece any kind of a bailout. Why Germany in particular?
Well, the way to look at Germany is, you know, it's essentially the big brother of the European Union for a couple of reasons. One is that it has the most fiscal flexibility, by which I mean Germany simply has the most cash available, you know, in the event that somebody needed bailing out, Germany would have the biggest wallet, for want of a better expression. And the other thing is they have the healthiest economy. And they've achieved that through, you know, being kind of ruthlessly practical. They're not an over-leveraged economy. They didn't borrow more than they could afford. They haven't sort of engaged in massive systemic bailouts of their financial system. It's not to say that they haven't had to bail out some of their banks. They have, but it's just been nowhere on the scale of what's happened in the UK and the US. You know, so you can hold them up as a paragon of virtue in a way, at least within the EU. And now it comes along that, you know, Greece hasn't been playing by any of the rules, and not only has Greece not been playing by any of the rules, but they seem not overly bothered by their non-compliance. So on the one, you know, you have, if you want to look at it in terms of school, the class prefect having to bail out, you know, the naughtiest pupil.
In our next segment, we'll be talking about Iceland's bumpy recovery from its economic collapse. Was there fear in the EU that without a bailout, Greece could have gone the way of Iceland?
I don't think the situations in Iceland and Greece are quite comparable. You know, there were very, very different drivers between them. The Iceland crisis was very much a financial and banking crisis. You know, as one person described it, Iceland turned itself into a hedge fund. You know, Greeks' problems were much more simply that they've issued more debt than they can necessarily afford to repay in a timely manner.
Well, Greece is not the only European or the Eurozone country that's in fiscal trouble. Spain, Portugal, Italy. Do the problems with Greece mean more trouble for those countries?
The problems with Greece have certainly meant that people are paying more attention to those countries. And what happens often in financial markets is things become a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If all of a sudden you were worried about Greece and somebody says, hey, you know, you should also be worried about Portugal and you should also be worried about Spain, you will start worrying about them. And often what that means is people who would have lent money to Portugal and to Spain or to Portuguese and Spanish banks might be less inclined to do so. So they'll either not lend or they'll agree to lend but only at much higher interest rates than they were lending at before, which can in itself cause fiscal problems. So you can see that it's the perception of contagion can actually lead to contagion in these circumstances.
Has this debt crisis tested the idea of a common currency throughout the Eurozone?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Some in Germany were wary of joining the Euro because of fears of precisely this sort of scenario.
No, that's exactly it. You know, the German populace loved the Deutsche Mark. And when they gave it up to join the European Union and to join the Eurozone, there was a great deal of skepticism about precisely this situation, that Germany was one day going to have to wake up and funnel money into less, you know, quote-unquote responsible members of the Eurozone.
Well, Angela Merkel has been a strong supporter of the Euro. Yesterday, I guess, as a way of appeasing her public, she said Greece won't be left alone, but there are rules, and these rules must be adhered to. On this basis, we will agree on a statement.
Yes, you can see the fingerprints of the Chancellor all over the agreement that was released today. You know, there is the Eurozone countries have called on Greece to implement in a rigorous and determined manner, you know, its plan to cut back on spending and to improve the budget deficit. You know, they're saying they're going to closely monitor the implementation of any plans that Greece makes. You know, they'll be working with the International Monetary Fund. It's definitely Germany saying, all right, if you want our help, you're going to have to start playing by our rules as well.
How does this affect the Eurozone countries that have been successful in dealing with the recession? Does this crisis make them weaker?
I wouldn't say that it makes them weaker, especially since they haven't actually had to give Greece any money. But, you know, going back to the point about contagion, if people suddenly begin to perceive that other European countries aren't necessarily good credits, then that may create problems of its own.
There was an article in Der Spiegel that called Greece Europe's Lehman Brothers. Do you think that's a fair comparison?
I think it was a great headline. I'm not sure that the comparison is, you know, the same. Lehman Brothers doesn't exist anymore. Greece has certain financial problems, but it's not going to cease to exist tomorrow or 10 years from now. It's difficult to draw parallels between sovereign countries and corporates because the rules of the game are very different. You know, Lehman may have been too big to fail under whatever nebulous criteria various U.S. administrations used at the time. But Germany is a country, it can issue debt. And, you know, if it does default, then it will hurt its creditors, it will hurt certain Swiss and German banks, but it will continue to be a country.
But can we see analogies with the U.S. bailouts? Wasn't one of the reasons the EU was willing to step in and help Greece that it would also secure the economies of the other troubled countries?
The reason that these countries are under pressure to step in and help Greece is there's a currency consideration. So, you know, you're looking at what effect will a Greece default have on the euro, which would hurt all of the countries in the eurozone if there was a significant disruption that then, you know, reverberated into ramifications on the euro. But the second thing is going back to the stat about the exposure of the Greece and the French and the Swiss banks to Greek debt. None of these countries want to have to contend with a fresh round of bank bailouts. Some of these banks are still, you know, they're recovering from subprime, and then they're recovering from exposure to various kinds of derivatives. None of these leaders want to, you know, to have to take the phone call that says, okay, well, we've got another banking crisis because Greece is reneging on its debts and now our banks are unable to meet their own.
Stacey Marie Ishmael is with the Financial Times. We've been talking about Greece, its economy, Goldman Sachs' role in hiding the debt as our first segment on today's Underreported. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Take care. Thanks for having me. We'll be right back.